And we're back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right. So, by the way, I want to thank Ron Lee again for spending some time with us and thank him for the work that he's done and for his service. And by the way, there was another guy, just I'll call him first name, Brian, from North Alabama, Marshall County, actually, who connected us back in the day. Brian was also instrumental in helping with some of the connections that made Operation North Star successful, to include connections in D.C. I'll just tell you, too, Ron mentioned the HR letters. I've forgotten what HR stands for. Maybe it's a human resource letter, but anyway, the reality is I was able to help draft several of those. So my interpreter, Hamid, who's been on the show several times, and I'll probably have him back on again soon, but Hamid and his family members, I assisted by writing letters for them. Several of them were able to make it out. And then there was one particular individual that Hamid and I both worked with. When I was there being on a remote team, it wasn't like I was on a base. I had interpreters, but I also had my own personal Afghan guard force. I had about a dozen Afghan guys who were like our bodyguards. And the head of that that Afghan group was just a good dude. Akhtar was his name. And to my knowledge, Akhtar has not made it out yet. But I wrote letters on their behalf. But all this stuff happens, and there was back and like, you know, I'm glad to hear the State Department is now paying for the flights, because that was not happening at first. It was a complete disjointed mess up front. I remember Ron talking about, hey man, your interpreter's family, give me their contact information. I think we got a flight out of Mazar-e Sharif. Can they get there from Kabul? Well, listen, that's about like driving from, you know, I don't know, Huntsville to Mobile. Here we'd like, well, okay, it'll be tough, but I'll fill up the gas tank and head on. Over there, that's a journey, and it's dangerous. And you have to go up through the mountains, through the Selang Pass and all. Anyway, it's a no-fooling, but there were people that were literally, you know, refugees within their own country trying to get from one place to another because they heard there was a flight. And I remember Ron talking about, all right, we got it. So here's the deal. We got 12 Afghan families, and we chartered a flight. And I mean, he was pretty calm. He was pretty humble today. But back in the day, he was telling me, we got a dozen Afghan families living in a safe house in Mazar-e Sharif. We got to be real careful, but we think we got the plane coming in. All right, the plane's on the ground, but we can't get them there because they're scared of the Taliban. And then, okay, all right, well, we had to bribe the Taliban. But now we got them to the airport, but they won't let the plane take off, so they're all sitting on the plane for like the next day and a half. Anyway, it went on like that. It was high adventure, man. And all that stuff costs money, every bit of it. So let me just tell you a couple things that you'll know. On the Operation North Star website, it has what the costs of doing these kind of things are, because what they try to do now they've streamlined it, is they still have to have safe houses because the Taliban are still pretty relentless. You heard a little bit of what that when he talked, but there's still a lot of persecution of those who worked with U.S. forces and who are trying to get out. But on their website, it says that just to feed an Afghan family costs hundreds of dollars a month. Well, when they put them in a safe house, they feed them. They take responsibility for them. So there's that expense. In-country travel. If you have to get a group from Kabul to Mazar-e Sharif or to Herat, or, you know, to some other location in the country, because that's the best place to fly them out, because that's where the charter will go, or that's where the State Department is scheduling their flight. Well, in-country travel, he said these bus charters cost between $375 up for a bus of 28 people, or $1,100 for a 55 people. And these are, we used to call them jingly buses. These are the old school jingly buses, all painted up and, you know, just, you know, open windows and dusty. But that's what it takes to get a group to the northern part of the country. And then, if they have to charter a flight, because for whatever reason, the State Department's not flying in, and things are dangerous and they got to get them out, to charter a flight can cost up to $1,500 per passenger. And that's just to get them out to somewhere within the region where it's safer to process them. So all this stuff is on their website. You can check it out. But there's been some amazing stories of people getting out. And I know Fort Lee, Virginia. So the world's people don't realize this, but the world's largest Holiday Inn, believe it or not, is on Fort Lee, Virginia. It's a massive hotel, a massive, and I mean like over 1,000 rooms, I think. It's huge. Well, it's because Fort Lee is a major training facility, and so they use that as a site for people to stay when they're there for short-term training, like, you know, officer basic course or whatever. That entire hotel became a refugee center. They literally had tents in the parking lot for medical, tents in the parking lot for food. The rooms were consumed with Afghan families, and Fort Lee became a refugee center for quite a period of time. I think it's back to normal now. All right. Anyway, a lot of that stuff still going on. Be mindful, and this is the one-week anniversary. Those of you out there, by the way, who served in country in Afghanistan, it's been frustrating. There are times it's been almost nauseating or emotional to watch and say, 20 years, and they did that? And you look at it and go, I mean, I've heard some folks say, well, we shouldn't have been there for 20 years. Forget you. You know, the reality is, how long have we been in Germany? How long have we been in Japan? But I don't care. The fact that we were there all the more validates the reasons that we need to leave correctly. If you're going to invest that much, you just don't cut off your nose to spite your face. The war had to end. It did. There's no reason why we could not have had permanent stationing there. There's no reason why we're still in Korea all these years later, aren't we? Why is that? Deterrent. We're still in Germany. Why is that? NATO alliance. You know, making sure that we stand in the way of the former Soviet and now Russian aggression. Well, we're still in the Philippines, aren't we? We still have permanent basing in Japan, don't we? So you're telling me that we would not have benefited from having a base in Bagram, where to your left you've got Herat, to your right you've got China, to your south you've got Pakistan, to your north you've got the former Soviet states of Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, and otherwise? Anyway, threw it all away. Threw it all away, as if there had not been 2,248 Americans who had died for that place for the last 20 years. But to those of you who served, to those of you who walked in that moon dust, to those of you who literally got parched in that dry, arid country, and to those of you who had people to your left and right who didn't come home or who came home different, thank you. Thank you for your service. It was not wasted. I'll say it over and over again. That war was won by the men and women in boots. The peace was lost by the men and women in suits. That's the bottom line. So, yeah, your service was not in vain. And a lot of good things happened, by the way. A lot of good things worth noting. Enough said. We'll do more of that another day. All right, tell you what, I'm going to do this, Boomer. I'm going to go right off cycle here. But in order just to start fresh on the next piece of the Triple Dipper, let's go ahead and take the break. Let's do that. We're about a minute ahead of schedule here. I'll take the break now. Come right back. We're in number two. I'm switching gears on you, y'all. It's time to talk about what if we could get anything we wanted in politics, what would it be? What would your conservative wish list look like? If you could say, hello, my elected officials, here's my Christmas wish list as a conservative, what would be on it? We'll talk about that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.